Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 on ABC Radio Adelaide.
You rarely see echidnas walking around, and when you do, it's quite a treat. A text from Peter at Strath says there's an echidna at the CFS Training Centre at Brakunga. Hangs out in the garden area near the offices, out walking early in the morning, quite often see it there. Peter, you could get involved in the Citizen Science Project. We've been involved in a few of these. Remember we did the koalas, that was fun. We've also done Maggie's. Professor Frank Grutzner is with the University of Adelaide and is involved in Echidna Watch, which is a citizen science project, trying to determine just what's going on with the echidna population. Hello, Frank. The echidnas are fantastic, aren't they? I just love echidnas.
Yeah, no, they're an amazing animal.
they're just beautiful. But I mean, they seem to be a native that hasn't made its way into the more populated areas, unlike koalas. I mean, you quite often see koalas and kangaroos hanging around the Adelaide metropolitan area nowadays, but echidnas don't seem to have done that. Or is that is that just not right? They are there, we just don't see them.
Yeah, we do certainly get reportings, you know, of echidnas in backyards, in the hills, you know, and sometimes they can come a bit further down as well. And so, you know, there's the odd echidna that makes it a bit more into town, but, you know, it's quite rare, certainly not as often as koalas.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you said before, I mean, they're around and, you know, I think there's information there and we'd really like to capture that information.
What sort of information are you looking for, Professor Grutzner?
So, you know, one of the things that really, you know, sparked this is that, you know, as a scientist, if you go looking for an echidna, that can be incredibly hard, and then you talk to a friend or colleague and said, oh, I just saw one the other day in my backyard. And so there's all this information out there. People see them, and we really need to know where they are, in which numbers, long term. So we thought, you know, with this citizen science movement that you mentioned before, that's really a great approach to capture that information. So, you know, we want to get information about where people see echidnas. We've asked some very basic questions in this phone app that we've developed about the echidna. So we're trying to get that information as well. But, you know, we're molecular biologists, so we wanted to take it that step further. We're interested in these animals on the molecular level. And we were thinking about, you know, how could we potentially get some molecular information. And really the way to do that is for people to pick up sketch samples and send them to us.
How do you identify something as being echidna poo?
Yeah, it's not as hard as you might think. It's sort of cylindrical. And, you know, if you take a closer look, you often see that, you know, I see all the insect skeletons in there. And often you also see, you know, that the echidna has been in the area through all the diggings and, you know, holes that they make poking their snouts into the soil. So we've had, you know, we've been running this now for a few months and people have been very good in identifying it. And we've also got some pictures on the app so that you can, or links, so that you can actually see how it looks like. But it's not that hard.
Wow. Because we know that koala poo smells like eucalyptus. Does echidna scat smell like crushed ants?
Well, actually, I don't know, Spence, how crushed ants
Well, you haven't gone down to have a smell.
Tell me about your diet. Maybe you should look at you as well. But, you know, that's exactly right. So from looking at the echidna poo, I mean, we get information about what they've eaten. But there's also in poo, there's a lot of DNA from yourself, from all the cells lining the gut, so we actually can also capture information about the echidna itself. And there's also other molecules that indicate, you know, if the animal was stressed, if it is in, if it's actively breeding. So, you know, if you think about it, there's a lot of information out there, and you know, a lot of scientists are really looking at, you know, endangered species and collecting these samples, because it's a fantastic way. You don't really have to get close to the animal. It's very non-invasive, so it's a great way to study a wild animal.
We'll get details of that app shortly, if we can, please, Professor Grutzner. But is the echidna widespread throughout Australia? Is it pretty well everywhere?
It is pretty much everywhere. In fact, it's probably one of the most widespread mammals in Australia. And I think that's one of the fascinating things. You know, whether you're in the rainforest, you're in the alpine regions, in the desert, the echidna can survive there, so they're not a fuzzy animal. But you know, to actually research them needs a lot of dedication. So we actually have probably only two populations that have been well studied, which is in Tasmania and then here at our doorstep at Kangaroo Island. some very dedicated researchers doing this work over decades. So for a lot of the populations in Australia, we have very little or no information. So if we can reach as many people as possible to look out for these animals, we'll be able to really put dots on the map and see where these animals are. And then if you run this long term, we'll get a bit of an idea of the numbers and also how they're affected by changes to the environment. And that's going to be really important. So yes, they are widespread. People see them, so they normally think, we don't have to be concerned. But the numbers have been dropping. And, unfortunately, in Kangaroo Island, the echidnas now officially recognized as endangered. And roadkill, feral animals, environmental changes are a big problem for them. So, it's really important to do this.
Do they have any natural predators?
Yeah, certainly. Natural, probably less so. Especially the young echidnas, it's not that hard to flip them over. Pigs certainly are a problem. Feral cats, in Kangaroo Island in particular, are a problem. Roads are a problem. So that would be probably especially for young echidnas. An adult echidna, they're very strong animals and they're very prickly. So, they're well protected.
I guess the greatest predator for an adult echidna is a car.
It is, in fact, yeah.
Mm. Well, what's a young echidna, what's a baby echidna called? Is it a pup?
A puggle.
A what? A puggle?
A puggle, yes.
Is there a defined breeding season for echidnas? Like, is there a time of the year when you might see more puggles than other times of the year?
Yes, both echidna and also the other egg-laying mammal, the platypus, are both seasonal breeders, and breeding season usually starts. It can vary a bit where these animals are, and being so widespread, of course, the environment is very different. But generally in July, August, breeding season starts and then sort of winds down towards the end of the year. So, a lot of the echidnas that you might see now are juvenile echidnas. And I've just been at a holiday in Tasmania. We saw 8 echidnas. And I think they were all probably juveniles from last year. So they're a little bit smaller.
Mm. Actually, you've just reminded me, I did see an echidna in Tasmania when I was there a couple of years ago as well. But it is a rare thing to do when you're out and about. They're quite elusive, aren't they? What do they live in, hollows, in tree stumps? Where do they actually live?
Yeah, I mean, anywhere, really. So, and it's really a remarkable thing. And it happened to me also in Tasmania. You see an echidna, you walk straight towards it, and it disappears on you, literally. They can dig themselves into the ground. If it's soft soil, they can disappear in front of you, digging themselves down. They would stay under tree log. The nursing burrow, so if they... Females dropping their young in the burrow, then they have a burrow. But you can find them tree stumps. In Tasmania, they found several animals sort of stuck in winter in a hollow tree. But they often use burrows. And one of the amazing thing with this project that's come out is the stories that people share with observing echidnas in their property. So it's somebody observing that the echidna was sharing a burrow with a fox, which is absolutely remarkable.
With a fox?
The other day, yeah, with a fox.
Wow.
Footage. And the other day I got an email from property owner at Narang, showing me pictures of an echidna walking into a rabbit burrow. So they're very opportunistic.
Yeah, either that or silly.
Yeah, certainly want to hear from about this echidna in the fox burrow.
And the fox burrow. I wouldn't have thought that is life enhancing. Professor Frank Grutzner, University of Adelaide.
ABC Radio Adelaide, 891 AM, digital radio and the ABC Radio app.